Welcome to IRO Live with host Bob Bay.
God has given us all promises in our lives. He's promised to take care of us. He's promised to meet our needs in so many different ways. Meet our needs significance so that we can feel significant in who we are. So that we can feel like we're somebody. So that we can feel secure in who we are. We can feel secure in our future. We can be secure in that He'll provide for us in our material needs. We all have a need to eat. We need food, shelter, clothing. We need all of that stuff. And there are places in the Bible where God talks about what Jesus talks about, how He knows that we need all of those things. And He wants to provide those things for us. We're heading towards the promised land. We talked about the battles. The next battle that there was the battle of AI, which is funny. We have AI now, artificial intelligence. It was spelt the same way, AI. In the Battle of Jericho, they were told to destroy everything. They couldn't keep anything, none of the loot from the conqueror, which back then, if you took over a city, you could keep all of the stuff. They even kept people as slaves and all that kind of stuff. But God told them not to keep any of that, not to take any of it. They were destroyed all. Well, it turns out that somebody did keep something. There was this guy, Achan, who took abhorrent things, these things that were tainted. And what it was is it was a garment. It was a Babylonian garment that was really beautiful. There were 200 shekels of silver, and there was a gold piece that weighed 50 shekels. Nobody knew that he had done it. He had actually taken it and hidden it in his tent under the ground. Before they sought God, they sent another army out to battle with AI, and they lost. And that's when God told them, listen, this is what happened. Somebody in the camp took this stuff. And so why am I talking about this? Because when we talk about and we use the battles that the Bible talks about, they were real battles. When David fought Goliath, that was a real battle. And it's easy to look at the battles in our lives as something that happens out here. But really the battles that we're talking about and all the battles of our lives take place inside our heart and inside our heads. That's really where the battle's taking place. And I'll use the example of Achan when he took that. He said, when they confronted him about it, he said, I saw these things and saw they were beautiful and I coveted them. That means I desired for them. And so he took them, even though he wasn't supposed to, and he hid them in his ground. And you guys, if you've read my book or you were here a couple months ago, I talked about the router story. Had to have it. Maybe you guys have had other things. You were going to buy these nice clothes that made you feel good about yourself. You were going to buy a nice car, maybe. You were going to have these nice things. You were going to get a new purse. You were going to get new shoes, whatever it may be. And so I understand. I can understand Achan looking and seeing this is gold and silver and this fine garment. And I can understand feeling like, oh man, if I just had that, if I just had more money, that would take care of my problems. That would make this life easier if I just had. And that's a war going on the inside of us. And so he took it, but knowing he shouldn't have it, and he couldn't let anybody else know that he had it, so he had to hide it. So I can totally relate to that part of the story. But here's what ended up happening. Because he was disobedient, and God so much, because of the gravity of the situation and because of the importance and because of the consequences of not listening to God, in the story, Achan and all of his family were stoned. And that represents the seriousness of getting that stuff out of our life. And that seems harsh to us today, right? God would never do something like that today. 3,500 years ago. Totally different time, different circumstances, different situations. But today we have to understand that there are things that go on in our lives that the consequences will affect everyone around us. But we don't understand that when we're going into it. And this is another part of that lesson, because in the battle of AI, which was the next battle, they were allowed to keep all of the spoils of war. They didn't know that when they were in Jericho. In the next battle, they were able to keep those. Well, after it's all dealt with, they went ahead and fought again the battle of AI, and they won, and they were able to keep all of that money, all of the gold, all the livestock, all of that stuff. But see, Achan wasn't there to be part of that because he lost that battle in his heart, not knowing what was to come, and he decided to take that in himself. And so, doing all of that to bring us to a point where we understand this war that we go through, these battles are happening inside of us. This is in the book of James, chapter 4, verse 1. Where do wars and fights come from among you? Do they not come from your desire for pleasure that war inside your members? You lust and do not have. You murder and covet and cannot obtain. You fight and war, yet you do not have because you do not ask. So what's this telling us? It's describing this condition that we talked about. Remember a couple of weeks ago when we talked about having those needs on the inside of us? And we all have this need for significance in that. And when our needs aren't met, we want to do things to cover that up. I have to paint you pictures out of my life because I can't paint pictures out of your life. I don't know what they are. And I can just only hope that you can insert your life into this, your things. These things may not matter to you. One of the things that I really want to have, an RV. I don't want to pull it behind my car. I want to hook my car up behind it. I would really love to be able to have an RV. My desire one day is to be able to go out and take about a month and go see the West, Yellowstone Park, and go all the way up into Oregon and all that. I did that when I was young. I didn't do it for a month. I went out and I worked on the West Coast up in Oregon. I drove out there and it was just so amazing. It was beautiful, but I didn't have time to stop and look at everything because it was business stuff. But listen, this is the reality of it. I would love to be able to do that. And if I let myself go, I could see how happy that would make me, how much I would enjoy that. Going out and seeing nature, not having to worry about all the stuff in my life, not having to worry about building stuff through the day at work. So you see, that would be something that I would covet, that I would look at and say, you know what, I would love to. But we all have things in our lives, right? When life begins to weigh us down and the stresses of this life begin to come over us, we all have things that we think, if only, then, don't we? If money is really tight and you got things coming up, bills coming up and all that, you think, only I had more money. If only I didn't have to stress about this, if only, then this wouldn't be such a problem. But really, that's not the problem. The lack of money is not the problem. If you had a little bit more money, then guess what? You just have bigger problems. It would just be different. There's a war going on inside of each of us because we're not getting our needs met in the way God intended. Our flesh cries out, wanting everybody to see this, because we're heading towards a resolution here. Let's read the next verse. The verse previously said, you do not have because you do not ask. And then this says, you ask and do not receive because you ask amiss, that you may spend it on your pleasures. And it's easy for us to get caught up and not be able to identify this because we're thinking about pleasures. When I first started learning this passage many years ago, I would think, you know what? I don't want a fancy car. I don't want a fancy house. I don't want fancy any of this stuff. I just want to be able to pay my bills. I'm not going to use it on pleasures. But it's talking about this thing that goes on inside of us. And really, just in sharing and being transparent, most of my money troubles when I was growing up was because I spent money on things I shouldn't have spent money on. Pam and I, when we were younger, would spend a ton of money eating out comparatively to our income. We would get what we call Bay Rich. That's my last name, Bay. My brother and I came up with this when we were younger, but that's where the thing came from. We would get Bay Rich. So we would do without, and then we would get some money in our pocket and be Bay Rich, and we would decide we could go do these things, and we would spend it frivolously because it would make us feel better and do impulse buys. And so you impulse buy, you spend money that you really don't have on things that you really don't need. And then after it's done, it didn't do what it was supposed to do, so you regret it anyway. And they still want to turn the electric off. And they don't care. They don't care that it didn't work. They just want their money. It's this battle that's going on inside to make us do that. That's the warring that's happening. And so God's not saying you can't have these things. He's not saying you can't have nice things. He's not saying you can't have things that are enjoyable. It's all in the motivation behind what's going on. It's all in the motivation of what's going on, why we're trying to use it, what we're doing with it. Adulterers and adulteresses, do you not know that friendship with the world is enmity with God? This is plain and simply what we're looking towards those things for, to do inside of us, to make us feel. This could be monetary things. It could be material things. But it also could be relationships. Relationships, especially new ones, can be exciting, right? But they can destroy your life. They can cause you to make decisions that will ruin everything. Certain jobs or certain activities can seem like it'd be the best thing in the world for you, but cause you the ultimate destruction. Whoever therefore wants to be friends of the world makes himself an enemy of God. Or do you think that the scripture says in vain, the spirit who dwells in us yearns jealousy? You guys remember me talking about the body, soul, and spirit, about Jesus being in the backseat of the car with us? That's what this is referring to. But he gives more grace. Therefore, he says, God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. This is the answer, guys. This is what we're getting to right here. This is the answer. We have to know this foundation before we can go on with the other two things that happen in the promised land before we find peace. If this battle, the war that rages within us, if this war is within us and it's a fight to make good choices and we find ourselves unable to make good choices, it feels pretty hopeless, right? We feel like maybe God's not watching out for us. We feel like maybe things are never going to change. We feel like we're on our own. But that's not the way God intended it to be. So if we're feeling that way, something's not right. Because God resists the proud and gives grace to the humble. And what is that? When it says resist the proud, that doesn't mean you walk around thinking you're big stuff. The proud is to say, I can do this life on my own. It's not talking about walking around like thinking, oh, I'm all this good stuff, I'm this fancy person, I got it all together. It's just a thing of coming to the point of realizing that, you know what? I don't have all of the answers. And if you're like me, I was prideful. I felt like I had all the answers. I felt like in my perfectionist workaholic frame of mind that I was in then, I felt like because everything was going the way I wanted, I was getting promoted, I was getting advanced in rank in the army, and I felt like I really knew what I was doing. I felt I was important, and I thought it was paying off. So I was prideful, but the whole part of the pride in it was is I felt like I had all the answers. It looked as though I did, but in reality, my marriage was falling apart. My finances were falling apart because I spent all my money on meth. When I was supposed to be doing stuff on the flight line, I was making excuses why I couldn't be there because I had to go get another fix so that I can make it through. And then I would stay up for 2 days and then I would have to do something for work and I would be dead tired. So I'd have to go get some more so that I could get through that day to make it happen. And that was my life. That was the pattern of it. And it was all crumbling in on top of me because you could only do that for so long. You can only pretend and BS your way through for so long. Then it starts coming the thing of, and it hit that point where the problem really wasn't my fault. It was the people who were above me. It was their fault. If they would just get off my back and cut me a little bit of slack, it would be okay. If Pam would just let me alone and just let me do a little bit of partying because I deserved it. I worked hard for my money. There's nothing wrong with coming home and having a few beers, smoke a little bit of weed, and then, you know, you get a little down, so you do a little bit of meth to help pick you back up. I just like to party. And if she would just get off my back about it, then it would be all right. Does that sound crazy? I'm just telling you the way it was. I'm telling you who I was. And so I was blaming everyone and anyone around me for the way things were and not taking responsibility for the choices I was making. That's what it's talking about, God resisting the proud. But the humble thing was, and I got to this point where I knew everything was falling apart. It was over. I'd ruined everything. I was not going to get promoted again because everything was a mess. Pam was getting ready to leave me. My brother had disappeared, and I thought he got killed by, the last I had heard, he was going to rob this drug dealer. And so he had disappeared, and so my brother was gone. I was sure he was dead. I couldn't do anything about it. Everything was messed up at work. And I was like, this is it. I can't do it anymore. I just can't do it anymore. I can't keep going like this. And I had lived in that zone. I don't know if you guys have ever been in this place, but I had lived in that place where I just really wanted it all to be over. I didn't think I could quit. I'd been trying to quit. I didn't think I could. I really just wanted to die, but I didn't want to kill myself. I just wanted it to be over. I just wanted to stop feeling like I felt. And I didn't know what to do about it. And that's when God intervened in my life. And I have this thing where it's like a nervous breakdown kind of episode. I talk about it in the book. And I realized then that, you know what? I don't have to have the answers. I don't have to be able to do it. And guys, it didn't come like that. It didn't happen like that and me suddenly realize. It took time. It took me messing stuff up for a while to realize that God actually has my back. And so this is what ended up happening. It says, therefore, submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. When it says he gives grace to the humble, this is what ends up happening. And this is crazy. This is actually from the Encyclopedia Britannica definition for what grace is. Grace in the Christian theology is a spontaneous, unmerited gift of the divine favor in the salvation of sinners and the divine influence operating in individuals for their regeneration and sanctification. What does all that mean? It's God's unmerited favor. It's something he does on the inside of us that I cannot explain, that does something to the inside of us, and he begins to work in our lives and in the situations of our lives to take care of things. And that's when it says, but if you go back to, I think it's in verse 6, when he says, God resists the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. And basically, when I got to that point where I said, you know what? I can't do this anymore. I can't live like this anymore, but I don't know how to change. I can't keep doing this stuff, but I don't know how to change. And you guys, I grew up in church, and I didn't want to have no part of that because I knew what that was all about. It was all about pretending to be something that you weren't. That's the way my perception of it was. You go into church and pretend to be somebody you're not. Because I knew what a lot of those people did outside church. I didn't want to have any part of that. But then God began doing stuff in my life. And these crazy things would happen. I had sold this kitchen, and I got my pay was based on the profits from it. And I had messed up the order. And I stood to lose thousands of dollars if I went back because I messed up the order. I was going to have to pay for it. And I was worried about it. And I'm thinking, I'm just going to lie about this. Being real, I was a Christian. And I'm thinking, I'm just going to lie about this. I'm going to go back and tell my boss that it wasn't my fault. It was the cabinet people's fault that I ordered the right thing. They got it wrong. But the whole way I'm driving back, it's like, I'm thinking, you could do that. You could lie about it. But the minute you do that, you're basically saying that God's wrong and that he can't take care of you. That's the old me. I would see things and I'd start scheming and using that old mindset on how do I take care of what I got to take care of because I was trying to watch out for me. That was my scheming way of doing things. Once I began to say, hey, wait a minute, this ain't going to work. I got to quit doing things like this. And I started walking in this. God started working things out. He started changing things. He started giving me opportunities I hadn't had before. The whole point in it is to say, to go back to the thing of getting our needs met in significance, feeling significant about who we are, feeling secure in who we are and what our future is, and having relationships that matter, not just something that's a convenience to get us what we want.
Thanks for listening. Please comment and subscribe for upcoming podcasts. To order your copy of My Real Life, go to the Take Action page at our website, reallifeministries-stl.com, or go to Real Life Ministries STL on Facebook.